I don't know about you, but you know, we started this in September, and the Lord has not ceased to have His hand upon my life and shaping me. And it's been really hurting and hard, but it's been good. And I can look back over the last few months and just, it's amazing. It is amazing at what He does and what He wants to do and how He wants to make us more like Him. And I'm very thankful, and I'm sure you're seeing the same thing in your own life. Well, tonight's topic is an interesting one. If you looked at your homework, if you did your homework, you know what we're talking about, and that is that subject of self-esteem. We called it self-esteem versus God-esteem. I want to ask you a few questions. How many of you here tonight are completely and totally, without reserve, secure in who you are? Okay. How many of you are just very secure and confident in your, and happy with, in your appearance? Height, there's not much you can do about it, but weight, hair color, hair texture, hair length, body shape, face, wrists, ankles. Okay. And how many of you feel very balanced in every aspect of life? How many of you deal healthy and very well with negative comments and criticism toward you? Okay, just for the record, I have not seen one hand go up yet, okay? And that's what I thought, because it is in the DNA, it is in the sin nature that we are born into and born with, and every single one of us, it doesn't matter who we are or how old we are or how long we've walked with the Lord. Every single one of us deals with insecurities and this whole issue of self-esteem, and if you have high self-esteem or low health esteem or self-esteem, whatever, we all deal with it. Now, the attitude today, and I don't have to tell you this because you know, the attitude in this world today is very, very self-centered. And it teaches us that in order to be successful, in order, you know, for us to you know, make something of ourselves or to be worthwhile, we need to have a positive self-image, and we need to have self-esteem, and we need to have self-worth. And there are classes that are given that people can take on learning how to feel better about yourself, to have high self-esteem. There are hundreds and hundreds of books out there that have been written on how to improve yourself, how to improve your self-esteem, how to, you know, boost that up a few notches. And everyone is working very hard at trying to feel better about themselves, because they feel pretty crummy about themselves. But they're working very hard at trying to build themselves up. So they praise themselves and they believe that they are much better than they really are. And it is both sad, I mean, it's terribly sad, and it's humorous at the same time, to watch people, to listen to people. And, you know, this is a world that we live in. It has crept into the church, but for the most part, it's out there. And you watch people building themselves up and you know, tooting their own horn. And it's just funny and sad. Now, probably most of you have watched or maybe seen a little clip of American Idol. And you know how many of them think they can sing. And you have these young people go in there just so confident that they're the next American Idol, that they can really sing. And they start singing and you just think, what are you thinking? It's horrifying. But their mother or somebody told them, it's like, what is their mother thinking? But they honestly believe that they can sing, or people honestly believe that they can do this thing, or they can wear a certain outfit that they don't have the body to wear it. It is amazing at where people's minds are today, in that they've built themselves up so much that they have totally deceived themselves. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. So the Bible teaches directly opposite of what the world teaches, in that, you know, you get out there and you go, girl, kind of a thing. We need to have the right way of thinking about ourselves. We need to have God's way of thinking about ourselves. That's where life and peace is going to come from, is His way of thinking. Two scriptures I want to look at. One is Galatians 6, the other is Romans 12. So we're going to go to Galatians first. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. Paul said, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. No one else is fooled. You've been around it. You've seen it. You know that the people who are praising themselves, thinking themselves to be something when they are not, they are the only ones they are fooling. Everyone else can see right through it. Everyone else has eyes and ears and a brain to realize you are not what you think you are. And then over in Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. We need to think soberly. Think the way that God thinks about us. And the world is really left to themselves until they come to the Lord. But for us, we need to stop thinking that we're something that we're not, that we're better, and we need to think the way that God thinks. Now, most of us probably sit here and think, well, you know what, that's not my problem. I do not think more highly of myself. I don't think that I'm better than anyone. I don't think that I have this terrific talent or voice or body or whatever it might be. My problem is just the opposite. I don't really think I'm good at anything. I don't think I look very good, and I don't think I talk very good, and I don't think I'm very smart, and I don't think, so my problem really is low self-esteem. I struggle with low self-esteem. But, you know, I think if we think about it long enough, we can realize that the fact that we think we have low self-esteem and we put ourselves down is because we thought more highly of ourselves in the first place. And we put the bar up here thinking that we were this or that, or we looked this or that, and then we failed. We didn't meet our own expectation. So now we feel crummy because we thought of ourselves too highly. Now we think of ourselves too low. I mean, it just low self-esteem, high self-esteem. It's both of it is garbage, and both of it is not biblical thinking for us. Now, we all struggle with this. Every single one of us at this time, if we are honest with ourselves, in some areas, we're thinking of ourselves a little more highly than we ought to. And then in a lot of other areas, we're thinking of ourselves in a very low way, which isn't right either. I mean, we all do it. I tell you, I'll just be honest with you. You know what? I think I look one way, and every time, it never fails, every time I look in the mirror, I'm surprised. I'm shocked. I didn't think I looked quite like that. It's really depressing at times. I mean, you have to just get a grip. You know, get your mind back where it's supposed to be. Oh, maybe you do that too, and you haven't thought about it. Now, I've given you something else to think about, to worry about. So, these people, us, whoever, who think of ourselves lowly, it really is because we thought of ourselves too high, and we have failed. The fact is that we are not supposed to think of ourselves at all. And that really is, you know, the high, the low, it's the balance, it's what we need. Just don't even give yourself any thought. What did Jesus say? Deny yourself. Don't think about yourself. Don't worry. You know, when you're worrying, you're thinking about you. Don't think about yourself. And it really doesn't matter what people think about you. Now, we all know that, but because we're in these sinful, fleshly bodies, we care about what people think about us and how they see us. But it doesn't matter. We are not to think about ourselves at all. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what we think. What matters is, what does God think? What is His estimation of us? What is His view of us? And we need to have clear biblical thinking about ourselves every single day. And the moment that we get off, we need to bring it right back. Okay, Lord, what do you say? What do you think? How do you see me? Well, first of all, he sees clear and right and true. And he sees you, and he sees me, and he sees each person in this world as a sinner in need of a Savior. As dust, he created us from dust. And we all have that sin nature. We are all sinners, and he sees us as people who need to be saved. Romans 3:10-12. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Now that can be a really hard verse for people. And even if we say, oh, yes, I know that, of course, there's none good. Every time we start feeling like that little low self-esteem, why is that? Because we thought we were good. Because we thought we had something to offer. We had some good in us. No, there is no one who does good. No, not one. And you know what? That's very freeing when we get to that place, and that's a continual place to stay in, to realize, okay, I am a sinner. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one person, I don't care how positive thinking, talking you can do to yourself. Where are sinners? Sinners. The Apostle Paul had the correct biblical thinking. He said in Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." He recognized that. Nothing good dwells. I like the New Living Translation that says, "I know that I am rotten through and through." We're not going to get in this condemnation, in this pity party, when we know there's nothing good in us. It's when we thought we were going to do something good. We've had these expectations. And the Apostle Paul also, in Philippians, in chapter 3, he spoke of his worldly accomplishments. Something that he would have had very high self-esteem in, very successful, very powerful, very commanding. What the world sees as ooh and awe. And this is what he said, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." I count them as rubbish, refuge, garbage. It doesn't matter. All of these things that the world counts as good, and all my accomplishments and all these things, they're nothing, nothing. Now, God knows that we are but dust, and he knows that we are sinful dust, and that we will die in our sins unless he saves us. And that's why, of course, he sent Jesus. And it tells us in 2 Corinthians that he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, his view of us is we're sinners. There's no good within us. We've all sinned. We need to be saved. Then he sends his son Jesus, that our sins laid on him, that his righteousness is imputed into our lives. Now, a sinner, I am righteous. Now I have a new life. So now he looks at me through the eyes of grace and forgiveness through his son Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So now we are new creations. That's how God sees us. He sees us as a sinner in need of salvation. He sees us saved and as a brand new creation. In fact, it tells us in Ephesians that we are his workmanship. His work of art, his poem, his love song, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we might walk in them. So we have been saved by grace. We are a new creation in him. He sees us as righteous, so we don't have to walk around, "Oh, there's no good in me. There's nothing good in my flesh. I'm rotten through and through." You can't do that. You know that you are. I'm a new creation in Christ. Christ in me. I'm his workmanship. I'm his work of art. He sees us as righteous, and he is not concerned with the outward appearance. He is concerned with the heart. I'm going to repeat that. He is not concerned with our outward appearance. He's concerned with our heart. And he's working in us and shaping us to make us more like his son. That's right thinking. That's biblical thinking. I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm his work of art, and he's begun a good work in me, and he will complete it. Now, every day, we are exposed to and bombarded by the world's expectations of what we are to be. You know, we like it or not, we have been so affected by this world's way of thinking. We've been conformed. We're in the process of being transformed. And we're to resist the world trying to conform us. But we have been conformed in ways because of how we think and how we view ourselves and view other people. The world has set its own standard of what is beautiful, what is good, what is successful, what are all those things. And so if we meet that expectation, then we will be accepted and we will be successful and, you know, and good people. But of course, none of us can meet that standard. And then that's why so many people fall into this low self-esteem thinking trap. The world, I mean, the big thing is appearance. And we've been conformed into thinking like the world. We know that it's wrong, but it still affects our lives. Now, the world puts so much value on appearance, and really especially on women's appearance. And the problem is it continually changes, and it's different from culture to culture in different societies. So it's can get very confusing, and it's changed over time. You know, you watch the old movies in the 30s and 40s. What do the women look like? They're fleshly. They're voluptuous, kind of a thing. And then you go into the little beanpole thing, and you know, it's twisted and it's warped. But the world, I mean, what's the perfect height? What's the perfect weight? You know, for a runway model, she has to be at least 5'9", which is my height, but she needs to weigh 115 pounds, which is not my weight. I mean, that's sad. They just put so much emphasis on this appearance, on height, on weight, on body shape, on measurements. And the measurements change over the years too. And it's sickening. In the U.S., they are obsessed with their bust size. It's so sad. So sad. You know, I've had opportunity to travel outside of the country quite often. And when we are ever in Europe, you know, the one thing that I do not see among the women, I don't see any implants. Women look like they look. It's this culture, and especially this West Coast and this California that we live in. A few weeks ago, when I was in one of the hair salons, and boy, talk about a place you get bombarded with appearance. Think, well, there was a People magazine on the thing. So I picked it up because of the cover. Beautiful 23-year-old young actress who was sharing her story, who had just had, and I can't remember the number, but it was at least 7 cosmetic surgeries at the same time. Now, she said, this goes on all the time. I'm just the only one that's going to admit it and talk about it. Everybody in Hollywood does this. 23 years old. Do you know what a 23-year-old looks like? Okay, we would all like to look like a 23-year-old, okay? She was a very pretty woman. Very pretty woman, very nice shape. I mean, just what you would think. But because of this pressure, she had Botox, she had an eyelid lift, she had bigger implants than she had had before, she had liposuction in her neck, 23. She had it in her thighs, her waist. I mean, it was just so sad. Absolutely sat 23 years old. That's what the world does to women today. And we get sucked into it. Don't let them do that to you. What about attitude? The world thinks of, you know, this self-esteem and this attitude, this self-confidence for women, this assertiveness, independence. Yes, that's what's going to make you feel good about yourself. When you walk into the room with confidence, you take command, you shake hands like a man. Don't give me this wimpy women's handshake thing. You know, that shows that you're a woman. Be all that you can be, and then make sure you put yourself first, because who else is going to take care of you? This is all going to make you feel good, woman. You're going to have high self-esteem here. And in your career, you go for your dream. Don't let anybody or anything get in your way. It is you first. Again, nobody else is going to take care of you. You better take care of yourself. And in your home life, well, you let your family fit in to your schedule and where you can fit them in, because you are all you've got. You take care of yourself. You do what you need to do. And they can come along after. And that is this world's attitude, to try to build women up, to make them feel confident, to make them feel good about themselves. And when we allow that world's way of thinking into our hearts and into our lives, it's so damaging to us. And it is so quite the opposite of what the Lord has and what is good biblical thinking of ourselves. But when we pick up those magazines, when we watch that TV show, or we're with the girls in the office, or this or that, or whatever it might be, we start to compare ourselves. We measure ourselves by them. Their hair color, their hair cut, their makeup, their complexion, no wrinkles, body part, everything. We start comparing career, success, money, jewelry, everything. You know, it says for 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. And that's a nice way to say it is stupid to compare yourself. Every time you do, you are either going to feel pretty good about yourself, because she doesn't have what you've got, or you're going to be in the pit because she looks better, or she has this, or her car, or this or that. It doesn't help whatsoever. And we bring it into the church. We bring it in among ourselves. And it ought not to be. So beware of that trap. And if you have to stop watching shows that would cause you to compare, or if you have to stop looking at magazines or catalogs, or you have to stop being around certain people or going certain places, then do that. Stop. Stop. Because it's damaging to you. So what the world esteems is so opposite as what God esteems. What He has a high regard for, what He considers to be good qualities, and what His estimation of us is, that when we take on the fragrance of Christ, when we are transformed and being renewed and being conformed to the image of His Son, that's what He looks at and says, yes, that's right. That's what's going to give you peace. There's your security. There's your confidence, because it's in me and what I'm doing in you. And that's where we need to keep this mind, our thoughts on Him and what He is doing, what He considers to be right and to be good, what He esteems. What about appearance? we know what the world thinks, but what about, what does God think? Well, again, God is not concerned with your physical appearance. He is not concerned with your shape. He is not concerned with your size, your hair color, whether you have wrinkles or not, whether your legs keep moving when you stop, which is what Morgan told my mom when she was a little girl. Mimi, why do your legs keep moving when you stop? Grandchildren say very nice things sometimes. Mine just come up and pat my tummy and say it soft. God isn't concerned. He wants us to take care of ourselves, of course, and to be healthy. But he is not concerned. He doesn't look at what we look like. When he looks at us, he's not looking, oh, look, she did her hair good today. He doesn't do that. But don't you think he does? Of course we do, because the world thinks that. We've been conformed, and we carry it over, and we think that he does. And we're having a bad hair day or a bad face day or body day or whatever it is, then we think that he thinks that we're fat and ugly and wrinkled. He doesn't. 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord spoke to Samuel when he was looking at outward appearances, and he said, don't look at his appearance or at his physical stature, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks the heart. He looks at the heart. He does not look at outward appearance. And I know I've said that several times, but you don't believe me yet. It's not sinking in. I have to tell myself that it doesn't matter to him. And what is the perfect body anyway? Well, we all know what Eve looked like, don't we? As he created Adam and Eve and this perfect environment and these perfect people, we know what she looked like, huh? What color hair did she have? Did she have long, thick, wavy hair? Or maybe just nice ringlets hanging down? Or maybe it was just that smooth, silky hair? I mean, when you picture her, I'm sure you've seen a picture somewhere and you've got something planted in your mind. Was it black, brown, brunette, red, blonde? What color was her hair? What about her eyes? What about her nose? What is a big nose? What is a small nose? What did she have? And, you know, I'm not trying to be crude or anything. What size bust did she have? We've got something in our head of what we think is this perfect woman. Waist, hips, thighs. She may have had thick ankles. You don't know. I don't know. I think I know. Kind of looks like Barbie. We don't know. We don't know. You know, everybody, he created you as his workmanship. You are his creation. Some people are just going to be a certain size even if they ate bread and water. It's just their body. It's just the way God made them. And the world has just so tweaked our thinking. And we need to stop. And we need to know that God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. And what about our attitude? What does he esteem in that? What does he want our attitude to be? What is pleasing to him? And he looks at and says, okay, that's what these women should have. 1 Peter 3, don't let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. He doesn't say you can't do that. He said, don't let it be merely outward. So, you know, we're not going to extremes here. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have, is a gentle and a quiet spirit. Not a walk in the room and take command, not this assertive, aggressive type woman. But it's not saying a doormat either. A gentle and quiet spirit, she can speak what her opinions. She can speak out. It's the attitude of the heart. It is not what the world esteems something so different, and it puts down what God esteems in a woman, and we have got to stand our ground and care about what He thinks and be women who have a gentle and a meek spirit. What about career? What does He think that we should be and do with our lives? Well, I'll tell you. Romans 12:1-2. It's a very good career. I beseech you, therefore, sisters, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is a great career. That is something that we need to aim at in life. To be like Jesus, to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him every single day, to let Him renew our mind through His Word, to transform our lives. That is a great career. That is what He looks at and says, yes. And that is where there is peace. That's where there is security. That's where there is confidence in my God, because I'm doing what I've been created to do. I don't have to push myself through things. I can just release and surrender to Him, and then it's what He thinks that counts. What about our home life? Well, we know what the world tells us. What does God say? Well, in Proverbs 14:1, it says, a wise woman builds her home. So He wants us to build our home. There are scriptures all throughout the Bible that clearly state that God wants the women to take care of their homes. We are managers in our home. We're supposed to look over the affairs of our home with the Proverbs 31 woman in Titus, and it speaks of it in Timothy. Doesn't mean you have to stay at home and be a prisoner in your home. That's not what it means. It means to put others first, put your family first, to take care of what God has given us in the home. That's what He esteems highly. Now, the world puts that down, but again, we need to stand our ground and say, this is what He wants me to do, and this is what's going to be pleasing in His eyes. So all these things, this our home life, this career of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, and the attitude of our heart being gentle and meek, and that we know that He's not concerned with the outward appearance, but He's concerned with the heart. All of those things, those are pleasing to Him. These are the things that He esteems. And when we are doing this and we are keeping our minds there, then it's a place of safety. And that is a place of security. So we're not thinking more highly. We're not thinking lowly. We're not thinking of ourselves. We're thinking of Him and making our aim to please Him. We need to let Him build us up and encourage us. Not to worry about what the world thinks of us, what we look like or what we are doing or what we are not doing and all of those things. Let Him encourage you. Get what you need from Him. And He loves you. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you're His workmanship. And so take delight in that and be built up and encouraged in that. Now we know too that God uses other people to encourage us and to build us up. This is the way he put his body together. And we need to do that. We need to be encouragers because we are, each of us are out there getting bombarded every single day, telling us that we're too thin, we're too fat, we're this shape, that shape isn't right, your hair color's not right, I mean, that you face, the attitude, the career, the state, you know, all of that. We need to encourage one another. We need to build one another up. Everybody needs to be told, hey, you look nice today, or hey, that was a very nice thing for you to do, or, you know, those kind of compliments, those kind of things that encourage one another. He uses us in the body to do that. But our identity is in Christ, and our self-worth, if you want to call it that, is in Christ and him alone. You're not going to get anything from anybody or anything that's worthwhile or that's going to last. To be right with the Lord and to know that, as it says in Colossians, that we died with him and our life is hidden with Christ in God. That's peace and that's security. And then Christ in me, the hope of glory. Just keep that in the forefront of your mind. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Next time you look in the mirror, next time you go to do this or that, next time you start having those thoughts of, oh, poor me and this and that, or comparing yourself, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And we're going to probably battle insecurities the rest of our lives. Hopefully we will grow and it will become less and less and less. But as for me, the psalmist said, I will behold your face in righteousness. And this is, listen to this, I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You're not going to be satisfied on earth by what you're going to get from the world, by what you're going to think, by what other people are going to give you. I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. And Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth, and the truth that sets us free. Thank you that the way that you view us is the right way, and it's just the right way for us. Thank you, Lord. We acknowledge that we are sinners, and we thank you for saving us. We know that in us nothing good dwells, and that without you we can do nothing. And we thank you because of Jesus, we have new life, that we are a new creation, that we are your workmanship, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't look at the outward, you look at the inward. And I thank you that you are working in our lives. All of these things you've been teaching us, Lord, all these things that we go through, you're shaping us and you are conforming us to the image of your Son, and it is beautiful. And so we thank you, and I thank you for each one of my sisters, their love for you. Pray that you would build them up and they would remember Christ in them, the hope of glory. We look forward to that day when we awake with your likeness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that work in our lives. And thank you for the grace that holds us. And I pray, Father, that you would bless the time that each one of us have in our groups, and that it would be edifying to one another and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you who haven't been with us before, we meet in groups, right?